like to welcome you to our show today at Take Time for Jesus. After today's message, we will have information on how you can contact the show or access past shows here at Take Time for Jesus. And now with today's message, here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord. It's time to take time for Jesus. We're coming to you by the way of airways, and we just pray that God has blessed you in the last few days. And since we last talked, I noticed that some of you may not agree with us, but nevertheless, if you don't want to agree with me, agree with what the scripture says. Because I'm just a man of flesh, just like anyone else, and I can get a little bit overbearing, you might say, but I love you, all of those that have wrote to us, and I pray God will bless you and keep you through all of these problems that were going on in the world. My friend, we're living in a place to where love is no longer a thing with some people, but love, God said that we was to love one another, even to our enemies. If you'll notice in John 3:16, he said, there that said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not been delivered, believed on the only the name of the only begotten of God, is the Son of God. My friend, forgive me my reading, but I'm trying to get ahead of myself. But anyway, God loved us enough that he came into this world. We were all sold into bondage of sin when Adam disobeyed the one commandment that God gave him there in the garden. He said, do not eat or touch or whatever, anything pertaining to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But they did. Eve let the devil tempt her, and she became that. And Adam, I've often said, after he seen that she ate it, he didn't want to live without her. And so he took a bite too. Well, that's just my ad lib to it and everything. But nevertheless, he sold us into bondage at that time of the disobedience. One thing, disobedience is a sin, my friend. It will get you into trouble. You know, remember when you was a young boy, a girl, that when you disobeyed mom and dad and they give you a spanking, it was because they loved you. They didn't want to see you doing things you shouldn't be doing. And everything. Well, God may not take and spank you with a board or a belt like mom and dad did, but he'll bring something other about that will get your attention if you will pay attention, to get you to understand that disobedience will get you into trouble. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, full of grace and truth, that you and I could have remission of our sins through that finished works of Calvary. Therein were that Jesus came and gave his life. They didn't take it, my friend. He gave it willingly. Though he prayed there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, Father, if it be thy will that this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He knew where he was headed to. He knew it all. He knew that it had to be, that Calvary had to be accomplished there, and he had to fulfill what he came into this world to do. He came into this world as a man, God manifested in the flesh, as the Bible says, and he gave his life. They didn't take it, but he gave it willingly to die for you and I and all that would believe upon the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth, that we're in, that we can have life and have it more abundantly. Well, you might say, well, brother, I'm not having an abundant life. I said, well, you will have if you're faithful to him and in the kingdom of God. I believe in my heart that's where he's spoken about, an abundant life, because it'll never die, never be no more sickness or death. As long as you're in this world, my friend, you're going to have tribulations. Just get used to the idea of that. Just because you've repented and got God in your life don't mean you won't have some trouble. You remember Job? He was declared by God to the devil there that he was perfect and upright, and he avoided evil. But he still was tempted about everything that there that could imaginably be. But yet and still, he didn't deny God. He even made the statement there, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So we need to understand, my friend, we got to put our totally trust in God, because he loved us enough that he gave his life for us, that we could have remission of our sins. That precious blood of Jesus paid yours and my sin debt, even before we was. And I know that many of you are listening in to me over the airways, my voice. You're just like me. I was not in this world when Jesus died, but that precious blood carried right on, and it's still as cleansing today as it was when it flowed from Emmanuel's from Emmanuel's veins. It's just as powerful. It means just as much today. But you got to love God with all that is within you, whole soul, mind, and heart, to give him praise and honor. My friend, we've come short of the glory of God. Many have, but we need to get down to the nitty-gritty. As where the Brother McGee used to say, where the rubber hits the road, we need to get in prayer constantly, bombarding heaven with our prayers, praying one for another and bringing in brotherly love. But so much hate's going on in the world today that people says, what happened? Well, the devil is the god of this world, my friend, and he's what's doing all this. The Bible speaks about in the last days he would be out as a roaring lion seeking that he may devour. But when you love God and God loves you, he loved you enough to die for you, so we ought to love him enough to live for him. Repent and give him praise and honor. He'll look after you in this world that we're now living in. And when that time comes that you depart from this life, you enter into that life abundantly in the presence of God. Now, my friend, as many people says that, well, mom and dad and brother or sister or somebody's up there in heaven looking down and they talk to them and everything. Well, the Bible says that the Spirit goeth back to him that giveth. God gave us the breath of life as the spirit of man. It goes back to him who give it. But John wrote in Revelation there, he said he seen the souls of them under the altar crying out, how long, holy and true, Lord, without revenge our blood upon them on the earth. White robe was given unto them, and he told them to wait a little while until their fellow brothers come into the same way. They was persecuted, even killed, and died in the faith. My friend, it's only one way into the kingdom. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He loved us enough that he came into this world to die for our sins, that we may have forgiveness of our sins. And we need to love him and to love our fellow man. And the Bible speaks about even loving your enemies. I know that's something other that most people say that's a hard thing to do. But if you love God, that love of God is going to be shed abroad in the hearts of his people. And he will help you to love even to your enemies. I know it's a question there that, who is my enemy? Well, the devil is your worst enemy you got, my friend. It doesn't say mean that you got to love him more than God, but if you love God, and God will take care of you even in the presence of the devil. He did Job. He taken care of Job. And even in his friends belittled him and all that and accused him of everything. But they went to prayer and God told him, he said, I ain't going to hear your prayer. You go let Job pray for you. I'll hear Job's prayer. My friend, when you love God enough that you concentrate your life, soul, mind, and body and to serve him in the beauty of holiness, not denying the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Ghost, which he sent back to us to abide in us and be with us to lead us and guide us. Now, many people today in this time that we live have come to this new age, I guess you would call it. That's what somebody said. But they've got changed a lot of the scriptures. I know in some places the Bible says the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Ghost is what Peter understood that the Gentiles had received the same as they, because he heard them speaking in tongues. And he said, see here, what and what to be forbidden unto them that have received the Holy Ghost the same as we. My friend, the love of God will bring forth that spirit of truth that will abide in you and help you in this world, and to bring you to the place to wherein this new world wherein dwelleth righteousness. You're going to have to love God with all that is within you, whole soul, mind, and body. You can't skip, hop, and jump around and kick the can down the road and just hope for that God will be merciful, so merciful to you that he'll let you come into the kingdom of God, hanging all of this old world goods and things on you. It ain't going to happen, my friend. You got to repent. When he said, come you out from among the world and be you therefore separated. There's a lot of the things that happened in that church of councils in Nicaea 325 that brought out all these denominations, and they all got something different. But read your Bible, my friend. Read for it, or see what it says. It won't lead you astray. A lot of these denominational teachings is one thing or another, different from what the scripture says. I believe that God intended for us to understand and know the truth. So the truth will set you free. But the truth, what is truth? God is truth. The Lord Jesus Christ came in here and told the apostles the truth of the salvation and how it could be. So we got to go by what the Bible says, not by what some man come up here with some denomination, or even to what I might say. Read your Bible to find out if I'm saying what it's relying to what it says, and you'll know then. But my friend, it's come to the time to worry in that we need to get our heart right with God. Days are coming up. All these things that are happening are just fulfilled in the scriptures. God loved us enough that he put in his word the things that would be come to pass before his return, that we would be aware and to know that he loved us enough that he let us know that these things would happen. And so he wants to bring you into the kingdom that you can avoid all this here stuff. Well, it may be that you may have to give your life for a testimony to it, but think about it this way. Many have already done that, my friend. Some of your friends or loved ones may have given their life for a testimony. I don't know. I'm not no God. I don't know everything, but I know that my God reigns. I know he loved this world enough that he came and died for our sins. He is the only one that would be able to shed his blood, because he was sinless. He had no sin. He had nothing wrong whatsoever. But they denied him. They hung him on a cross. But the world has been in trouble ever since, and it will stay in trouble until the Lord comes, takes his bride home. But when he comes back and that appearing with his bride, on the day that he comes to fight that battle of Armageddon and end all this here unruly stuff and everything, it's going to be a day to reckon with them that don't know him. But I thank God to know that his love surpasses all of our understanding. He's got everything down. He's keeping a record of each and every one of us. And he knows what's going on in our lives. And he was said he would be with us, never leave us nor forsake us, but he would be with us and go with us even unto the end of the world. But you got to love him. You got to love your friend, even the enemy. You got to love the brethren. Oh, my friend, it's time that we understand that God is love. He intended us to love him with all of that is within us, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Many people hate their neighbor. Well, that's going to come to be a thorn in the flesh, you might say, when they stand before the Lord and they got all this hanging on them. It ain't going to be pleasant, my friend. But think about it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and he will love you. Love your neighbor as yourself, and be loving. Plain and simple. Love will cover a multitude of sins. And without the love, there's no end to torment. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't take his life, he gave it. He was willing to do it for you and I before we ever was. He made arrangements for you and I. I come along and back in the early 30s, and he had done already died for me. In the same way with you. Some of you are maybe a little older than I am, and some of you are quite a bit younger than I am, that you may be listening. Friend, I don't claim to be perfect. Never have, and God knows it. But I claim to know that my God, he is the perfect one, and he come into this world to die for my sins, and he abides with me, and I pray to abide with him till that time that comes when I have to go to meet him. I hope that you understand that. You may not agree with everything I say to do. I don't expect you to, no more so than I would agree with everything you say and do, but agree with what the Word of God says. Let us all join together in praise and worship in the Lord in spirit and in truth, loving one another and loving God with all that is within us, giving praise unto him. My wife's got something over here I wanted to read to you. But my friend, remember, God is love. He loved the world enough that he gave his life for it. So love him with all that is within you. Here's my wife.
Well, praise the Lord. Before I read what the Lord's laid on my heart, I want to share with you a scripture. I believe it's in Proverbs. I was trying to find it real quick, but I couldn't find it. But it's love the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Now, this is on the Ten Commandments. Jesus did not abolish the Ten Commandments. He magnified them. Jesus Christ said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. That's found in John 13:34. Does this new commandment replace the Ten Commandments? Sadly, even many who call themselves Christians that believe that Jesus' new commandment replaces the Ten Commandments, which he had kept and taught throughout his ministry. However, if we examine Jesus' teaching, we will understand the truth of the matter. It is vital to notice that in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus very plainly told his followers that the Ten Commandments still matter. Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Matthew 5:17-18. What did Jesus mean when he said that he came to fulfill the law? Does fulfill mean eliminate? No. Jesus' new commandment filled the law to the full, revealing a spiritual magnification his disciples had not known before. Notice that in the next few verses, Jesus expounded the spiritual intent of God's commandments. Murder is a sin, but hatred is the spirit of murder and is also sin. Adultery is a sin, but so is lust, the desire to commit adultery. Matthew 5:20-28. So we can see that Jesus did not do away with the Ten Commandments. He affirmed them as an integral part of Christianity. Indeed, as he told us, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Matthew 19:17. When Jesus gave the commandment to love one another, was he giving a new commandment? Many are surprised to discover that the command to love your neighbor as yourself comes from the Old Testament, Leviticus 19:18. So what was new about Jesus' command to love one another? Notice that after Christ had told the disciples to love one another, he emphasized a new dimension. They were to love one another as I have loved you. John 13:34. What made Jesus' love different? The source of Jesus' love was the Holy Ghost. Romans 5:5, which Christ promised would be given to the disciples after his death and resurrection, John 14:16-17. That same night, Jesus commanded his disciples to abide in my love, John 15:10. The divine love of God would soon be in them to help them follow Christ's example. Until Christ offered the gift of the Holy Ghost, the disciples could only love one another with human love. With the Holy Ghost, Christians can love one another with the very love of God. By this love, true Christians can be recognized. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another, John 13:35. Throughout his life on earth, Jesus Christ demonstrated how God's love actually works. Even at the moment of his death, Christ expressed total love for his enemies when he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," Luke 24:34. Just moments before he spoke his new commandment during his final Passover meal before his crucifixion, Christ had established the foot washing ceremony, which reminds Christians to lead lives of humility, service, and love. Jesus constantly lived a life of obedience to the spiritual intent and purpose of God's love, God's laws. God's love, obedience, and faith toward his Father encompassed the first four of the Ten Commandments. His love, service, and outflowing concern for others encompassed the last six of the Ten Commandments. Indeed, as the Apostle Paul explained, God's law, as outlined in the Ten Commandments, leads directly to Christ and his love, Romans 10:4. For a true Christian, God's law and his love are inseparable. I want to share with you what we got on our
email
on love. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. And we need to think about this all the time. It's really got a good message here. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongdoings. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always preserves. Love never fails. And praise the Lord. I appreciate each and every one, as Brother Compton said, that has taken time out to email us and let us know what you think about us or whatever. But we appreciate each and every one of you. We pray for everybody that's out there, no matter where you live. Those are being persecuted now because of Jesus' name. We appreciate, you know, we love them too. And one day we all may come to that same dilemma, you know, where we're going to be persecuted by it for the name of Jesus.
Already have.
But don't be ashamed. Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of
salvation. I'm not ashamed of this.
I am not ashamed of
the gospel of
the
Jesus
gospel
Christ.
Of Jesus Christ. I get mixed up every once in a while, but this is what I got over here for the last almost 44 years. Praise the Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come. Look up. Jesus is coming soon. It's probably sooner than we think. Here's Brother Earl.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's time that we got our priorities together, my friend, for the things that are happening in the world. It's showing forth that God has promised that he would return, but he gave us heads up of the things that would be transpiring before his return. So we're looking and seeing all this stuff happening. We know that he loved us enough that he gave us heads up into what we could expect and look for nearing his return. So, my friend, it's time that we put all of our efforts in to serve the Lord with our whole soul, mind, and heart, to love him with everything that is within us, because he loved us enough that he died for our sins and gave his life and shed his blood for the remission of our sins. He didn't have to. God could have made it without us. But my friend, if you think you can get by without God, that's your business. But I can't make it without him. I need him every day of my life, every moment. I need him because his love shows me just how much that he loved me and I love him. But my friend, it's come to the time that we're in that we need to understand that loving the world is not loving God. He said, come out from among the world and be ye therefore separated and I will receive you, saith the Lord. He loved us enough to give us that passport, if you want to call it that, from sin unto salvation through his life and shed blood. But we're going to have to believe. We're going to have to accept it. Unbelief is sin, and you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you can be saved. But if you don't believe that he exists and you believe whatever, something else that comes along, like Darwin come up and said we sprung from monkeys, but that's a lie out of hell because God created man in his own image and in his likeness. But man left the likeness part of God when he disobeyed him there. So that's where we come in, where sin abounds more and more in the lives of people for unbelief than they may realize. So let me encourage you to believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and turn to him, and he will love you enough to die for you. He'll love you enough to forgive you of your sins and bring you into the place of his domains, of wherein that he said he would go and prepare a place for us. If he goes and prepare a place for us, he will come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. My friend, if the righteous scarcely make it in, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? It's not that God don't love them. He loved them enough, the whole world. He gave his life for them. But they've got to believe on him and call upon him in order to receive his blessings of eternal life. The things in this world, my friend, is not worth your soul spending eternity in hell. But that's where the devil and his angels have decided that they wanted to be when they disobeyed and decided they would take over the kingdom of God in heaven, and they got cast out. And he's been wreaking havoc over the world ever since he's been cast out. My friend, he's trying his best to destroy everything that God stands for. So the love of God was so great until he came into this world and died for us, to bring us forth out of the bondage of sin unto the eternal gift of God through life, through his precious blood, that we can have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, I've been in this old world a long time, for 90 years of that matter, and I've seen a lot of things transpire, a lot of changes been made. I've seen some things that was good, and I've seen some things that was bad. But my friend, they're getting to be terrible now. When the people going into with automatic rifles and shooting people down just because they're out there having maybe a parade or something other, and they go out there, ain't nothing but the devil behind them. He's out as a roaring lion. Them that will turn themselves over to the enemy of their soul don't realize it, but they got it. And so he tells them what to do, and they'll go do it. It has to be because the love of God won't let them. If you love God, you ain't going to go out and do things like that. But if you're the devil's advocate and you're letting him rule and reign in your life, you're subject to do some crazy things. The devil is out there, my friend, to destroy, to kill and destroy. He's wanting to be do away with anything that's righteous because he had it all. He was a bright morning star. He had a third part of the angels was under him. They woke up the morning until he decided, I'll go this and I'll do. I'll even ascend the most above the most high. I will sit on the top of the congregation and all. I want to be head man. But he got fooled. He got cast out. And now he's out into the world trying to destroy what God had created. That's his goal. My friend, if you let him destroy you, he has accomplished something other. He's accomplished to destroy you in hell, then he's accomplished what he wanted to do. But there's one thing, remember, that God loved you enough that he died for you. He loved you enough to give his life and shed his blood for your sins. He loved you enough to let you know that he and him alone can forgive you of your sins. Them people goes around and prays to this man and saying, and he said, I forgive you. I can forgive you for doing something other to me, but the sin that, and the iniquities that you was born in this life, I can't forgive you of that, my friend. I can forgive you of what you may say or do to me personally, but I can't forgive you for the sin and iniquity that you was born in. It only takes the blood of Jesus to cleanse you. God himself came into this world to die for our sins. I appreciate it. I thank him for it. I hope you will too. But we got to understand that the world is full of hate and full of discord and everything. And people are killing one another hand and limb. It don't make no difference whether it's young, old, or medium. He died. Just on the news the other day, there was a man shot in the hand, and then a boy, 5 or 6 years old, he was killed. My friend, it's going all over the world. It's coming to pass as the Bible says it would. And we got to understand that the only hope that we have is in Christ Jesus. He is our hope. As we were a people, but not at one time we wasn't even classified as a people until Jesus came and died for the sins of the world. We were a people that was under the curse of death without any hope till Jesus died and gave us hope. My friend, it's time that we got to realize that you owe God. He don't owe us anything, but we owe him everything. We owe him to honor him, to praise him, to lift him up and exalt him, to serve him with all that is within us. We owe him that because he paid for your sins and my sins there at Calvary when he gave his life and shed his blood. He loved us enough to die for us. We ought to love him enough to live for him. What's wrong with living for a good Christian life? There's nothing wrong. My friend, I've been serving the Lord for a long time, and I don't miss any of that stuff back into the world. I thank God for helping me to come out from among the world. I don't do all these here holidays like some people do. Some churches have celebrated birth along with Santa Claus, a myth or a lie rather. Some of them have celebrated his resurrection with Easter eggs and all that kind of stuff. That's completely absurd. It's not even no scripture for all that. He come into this world. I understand he was born just like any child was, but he was God manifested in the flesh. My friend, and he came here in this world to die for yours and my sin. He accomplished that at Calvary. Everything that he came to do, he fulfilled. That's why he said he'd come to destroy the law, but he come to fulfill it. The law of God was that he could give his life for you and I. He done that. He fulfilled that which in when he spoke to Abraham long before Jesus came into the world, when God spoke to him and he told him that he would take his only begotten son and offer him up as a sacrifice in the place where he would go. That place, I believe, and I often thought it was right there on the top where he was crucified, where the Lord was crucified, where Abraham carried Isaac and offered him up as a sacrifice. But God seen that he was determined to do what God intended for him to do, and he stopped him. That ram that was caught in the bush, my friend, taking Isaac's place, it didn't take yours and my place. It was a ram. But the lamb slain from the foundation of the world was a crucified one, the Lord himself. He came and died for our sins. He loved us enough to do that. We ought to love him enough to serve him. It's time that we begin to seek after the kingdom of God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and body, calling upon the name of the Lord, forsaking all of these things of the sins of the world and these things that are in the world, and looking unto God to be the author and the finisher of our faith, because he is our only hope. Without him, you've got no hope. But God is promised there, Abraham, that he would make a nation. He gave Abraham the promise there. And when Abraham was there, and if you just read the Bible and find out, he gave Abraham there, the promise that he is fulfilling even in today. Abraham was there going to give Isaac's life for him, his only begotten. So God seen that he was going to be obedient, so he stopped him, and he didn't sacrifice him. But Isaac became the one that was to bring forth the 12 patriarchs, endowed them down through this, and he brought forth there in the apostles and on down the line, and he brought out, and David came out. He was the king that God chose to be king over Israel. He was that, and God said that his throne would not be left to another, but it would be fulfilled. The second Adam, the first Adam was dirt, made out of the dust of the earth, but the second Adam was a quickening spirit, which was Jesus Christ himself, God in the flesh. He loved you enough, my friend. Can't you love him to die for him, to love him, to serve him, and to live for him until he calls you home? The only way we're going to make it is to serve him. Otherwise, if you live like the devil, you might say, and do all the things that is wrong, and you're going to wind up in the other place. God only speaks of two destinations, hell, and he speaks a lot about hell, more than he does heaven, because he wants you to come into the place where he's at, into the kingdom of God. But he wants to let you know that there is a place called hell. He don't want you to go there because it's suffering. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But a lot of people wanted to go there, and they go in there. And so hell has enlarged itself and able to accommodate them that wants to go. The world has been dying and going to hell along for a long time, my friend. A lot of people have died in their sins, not believing on the only begotten of God. I hope you will believe. I hope you'll turn your life unto him. Repent, calling upon the name of the Lord. So serve him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and body. To love him as he have loved you. Be willing to serve him. And he loved you enough to die for you. Be willing enough to love him enough to serve him. And, repent. Turn to him. He's our only hope. Without him, we have no hope. But he gave us hope at Calvary. He loved us enough, he died for us. He loved us enough that he gave his only begotten son. He loved us even unto the time he said he would love us. He would go with us even unto the end of the world. He loves us that much, my friend. Can't you love him enough to serve him? Can't you love him enough to call upon him and repent from your sins? He's our only hope. Without him, we have no hope. As my wife was reading some of the scriptures there, that what we have, as I've read some of these here in the Word of God, and said Romans 5:8, but God commanded his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Ephesians 2:5, it said, even when we were dead in our sins, have he quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that he should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Now, friend, you see, the world don't know the Lord. But if we know him, we've come to him. He's standing with his hands outstretched. If you read the Bible, you'll find out that on the last day of the feast, before he was crucified, he stood up there in the midst of the congregation, or if you want to call it that. But he cried with a loud voice, said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink of the waters of life freely. You see, we were not a people. But when God told Peter that he would go to the Gentiles, Peter had the keys, one to the Jew first, to the Samaritan, which was mixed with Jew and Gentile, and to the Gentile, which Cornelius's house was a Gentile. It wasn't lawful for them to go, but he went because God told him to. He told him the love of God, and He received his spirit, the Holy Ghost. He spake with tongues. A lot of denominations, oh, they believe in the Holy Spirit. But when it comes to speaking in tongues, as Paul said, I speak in tongues more than y'all. I would rather speak 10 words with wisdom and understanding and many words with other words in other tongues. Because you don't understand what it is. I speak in tongues myself when the Spirit leads me. But I'd rather speak to you with wisdom and understanding in a language that you can understand. That's why that I preach to you the love of God. That's why I turn to Him, to seek after Him with my heart, to let Him lead me to tell you what He would have you to do for His name's sake and for the salvation of your soul. My friend, we got to understand that we need Him. He can do without us. He did for many years before He came into this world and died for us. But my friend, it's come to the time that you're going to have to need Him, because the time's going to come when your life won't be no more. And if you don't know Him, it's going to wind up in destruction, in the torments of hell. But if you know Him, you love Him, and you serve Him, you'll wind up in the kingdom of God where there's love, joy, peace, and love for all. But no more sickness, no more parting, no more problems. So would you rather be that than to be kicking in hell and screaming with torment? No water, but in dire torment? I hope you'd rather to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ rather than go the other direction. I hope and pray that God will touch your life in a way through someone would speak the word that would cause you to turn to the Lord and come to give Him your life. I just pray that prayer. God would be merciful and bring you to the place to where you repent, calling upon the name of the Lord. We got to understand, Jesus said when He went away, He said, I would pray to the Father. John 14:26, He said, I go away, but I pray the Father to send you another comforter in my name. And the Holy Ghost, when He fulfilled and sent in my name, He shall teach and you all things and bring you into all things. And remember, whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you peace, but unto me. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My friend, if you got God in your life, you're not going to be afraid of the things, because He's going to take care of you. And even though if some devil-filled person comes along and shoots you or whatever, you're still secured in the hands of God. And that may be the way that me or you or whomever, that we might have to go into the kingdom. And some of us may be alive. The Bible speaks about the dead in Christ rise first. They'll be changed from corruption to incorruption. And them which remain to be alive be changed from mortal to immortality. And they meet the Lord in the air. So in any case, you got to be born again. You got to come to the Lord, ask Him to forgive you of your sins that you were born in. You're not sinless, my friend. You may be a good person, and I pray that you are a good person, but still and all, we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We had to have a Redeemer. Christ Jesus came to redeem us from the fall in the garden, wherein that we was cast into sin because of one man's disobedience. But God came into one man's obedience. He gave us life more of a time. But you got to believe in Him. You got to call on Him. You got to accept His atoning price that He done for you and I that we could not do for ourselves. It's impossible for you to forgive yourself of the sins you were born in and iniquity. You couldn't die for yourself and be saved. God had to do that Himself. So He came into this world, manifested in the womb of a little Jew girl, wherein it was out of the line of David, out of his bloodlines, wherein that Jesus came to die for yours and my sins, out of David's bloodlines. It's so simple, once you read it and find out and let the Spirit of God show you, reveal it unto you, you won't wonder about what is and what ain't, but you'll know firsthand, because God said he would lead and guide you into all truth. With him, he would bring you to the truth. He will teach you the truth. He will bring you to the place that we're in, that you'll know that God is sovereign. He don't need you. He don't need me. But he loved us enough, he died for us, and he wants us to be with him. As he walked in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve, there they had that fellowship until disobedience came between them. And then he lost the fellowship. That part of it was the part that we lost, likeness of God, without sin and everything. Oh, my friend, it's time we got to get it right with God. It's time we take it into consideration. Where will we spend eternity? God loves us enough to make the way for us that we don't have to go into the place of torment. We don't have to go there. All we can do is call upon him. And he's provided for us salvation, wherein that we can have life and more abundantly in the kingdom of God, wherein there be no suffering, no dying, no parting, no aches and pains. I'm sure if you, like me, you got aches and pains. Most people do. They call it arthritis. But nevertheless, it hurts. I believe me, it hurts. But there's a better day coming when we get to that place wherein that we put on that new body. We change from corruption to incorruption, from mortal to immortality. We have a body like Jesus. It'll be glorified. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more anything but love, joy, peace, and love in the kingdom of God. Being there with the Lord himself. Oh, I want to see him. Oh, how I pray, Lord, for the move of the Holy Ghost, to move into this world in a way that it would bring such a revival in spirit to the hearts of people that it would call upon the Lord before it's eternally too late. It's going to be too late one of these days. When the trumpet sounds and them are not prepared to go, it's going to be too late. You ain't going to have time. You remember when Noah built the ark? It took him 120 years, and he preached about the rain was going to come and flood the earth. Well, it had never rained before, and so they didn't believe him. Jesus never come in the clouds of glory before, but he will. And when he comes, he's going to receive his bride. He's going to come and take his church in. And when he comes back again with his church, he's going to fight that battle of Armageddon and put all the sinful people and the crooks and everything. He's going to put them out. You'll cast them out. You don't want to be on that day, my friend. You want to be in the catching away of the bride of Christ, the rapture, they call it. But my friend, it's the only way we can make it is to repent, serve the Lord with all that is within us, giving him praise and honor, loving him and loving our brother, loving even our neighbors, and doing our best to love even our enemies no matter what. It's not easy. I'm sure of that. I can't say that I got an enemy, right? I put my finger on one, but I'm sure they're out there. I've had some derogatory things said about me because I believe the Lord Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh. Oh, you're this and you're that. I said, no, I'm everything. Jesus is my life. He is everything to me. He's the one that died for me. He came into this world manifested in the flesh. God himself is the only one that was pure without any sin or blemish. He came and died for my sins. I owe him. He paid my price for my sins, so I owe him to serve him to the best of my ability. And I hope to do that. I hope you'll get the place to where in that you would call upon him and love him as you love yourself. Love your neighbor. Oh, my friend, it's time we begin to understand this world is teeter-tottering on destruction. You want to be safe in the arms of the Lord, that when the time comes and that trumpet sounds and we go to be with the Lord and miss out on this. The Bible says that the church, in other words, is not pointed under wrath. But there's going to be some people, it's going to be wrath because they are going to suffer very much at the hands of the Antichrist when he comes and sets up his rule, as he calls it. People are going to suffer much under it. They're going to be required to take that mark. And if they don't, they can't buy nor sell. But if they take that, they'll be doomed forever because God ain't going to have nothing more to do with you.
Right.
So my friend, be aware. Read your Bible. Get you one. If you don't have it, get your Bible and read it. Sit down and ask God to help you to understand it and open your understanding. He will. He has me, and he has no respect of person. He will help you if you sincerely want to be what he wants you to be. He'll help you. He'll bring forth all that you is necessary for you to have to serve him with all of your soul's mind, heart, if you'll just call upon him. Give him praise and honor. Honor him, and he'll honor you. And when that time comes that you depart from this life, you'll be ushered into the kingdom of God. We're in there that we can be forever. Oh, it's going to be a glorious time. But before that time, it's going to be some trouble before the Lord comes. And it's getting worse. If you just read the newspaper or watch the news or whatever, read your Bible, you'll find out that Jesus spoke about these things, that trouble would be even waxing worse, that it would be so bad that people would get, oh, Lord, they just get into trouble right and left. People who goes around killing one another just for the sake of killing them, it's the devil in them, my friend. He's out as a roaring lion, seeking that he can devour. Be careful about how you serve the Lord, but serve him with all of your heart. And that way that if you come to the place to wherein you be killed and you got God in your life had just began. I heard a fellow say one time, eternity would be sort of like if we take the bird and set him loose at one point of the earth, and every time he made that circle, the tip of his wing would brush away a grain of sand. When it was all brushed away and done away with, eternity would be just begun. Ooh, that'd take a long time in my thinking. But my friend, God is sovereign. He can do without you and me, but I can't make it without him. I hope you can't either. Praise you. We thank each and every one of you for writing to us. We know that we probably said things that you don't agree with and right reverse. If I was to hear you say some things I may not agree with, but when it gets to word that you think that everybody ought to agree with you for everything you say and do, you're barking up the wrong tree, as your old saying goes. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and believe what he has said and what he has for you and I, and you'll be all right. But may God bless you and keep you. Write to us if you will. And we just thank God for each and every one of you that has. May God bless you and keep you in our prayers as we pray one another that God will bless and undertake and supply your needs spiritually, physically, and financially. God be with you until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
Take a little time in the morning and you'll feel better all day. Take a little time for Jesus to get down on your knees and pray. He took the time to die on the cross so all of our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. You may be in a hurry. You have so many things to do. But don't forget about Jesus. Remember, he didn't forget about you. He took the time to die on the cross, so all our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
We would like to thank you for joining us today on Take Time for Jesus. Email the show at ecompton31@yahoo.com. If you'd like to check out past shows of Take Time for Jesus, go to our website, taketimeforjesus.com. We look forward to joining you again on our next show as we Take Time for Jesus.